Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
Tonight I'm going to step out of my comfort zone or the things that I know about most. And I'm going to step into a subject that I called the power of mass distraction. And I could have called it, I guess there's a number of things you could call it, but I want to say it was inspired maybe in the last year or so, a couple different ways. Number one, I guess I'll go back to last year. Pastor Scott and I were sitting, you know, towards the end of the year, and, you know, pastors, we're on 200 different nations in television, and we've got our website, and he and I are discussing ways to further pastor's message and get it out there to more avenues, to get the Jewish roots around the world into avenues that maybe people don't always watch. And that subject came down to more of a social media type atmosphere or platform. And of course, with that, Amy, who came on was a digital marketer, and she began to teach us a little more about social media and how that works. And that got me more interested and began to learn things. And then the next thing was, I guess, a really defining moment in the last 6 months or so that really took me to another level in the digital marketing or social media distractions. Was when my eldest son who left to go to college. Now, I'm used to my son being home every night, and I can talk to him like I'm talking to you right now, right? And of course, he has a phone, I have a phone, we all have phones and we communicate like that. And I had to learn once he left for college that I wasn't going to always be able to sit and communicate like I'm talking to you. He wasn't either going to be in class, he's going to be on the football field playing ball, or he's going to be in meetings and such. So there wasn't going to be that time and opportunity to sit down and have a conversation. So I had to learn other avenues to communicate with my son. And being 18 years old, talking on the phone isn't always the number one choice of means of communication for 18-year-olds and below. And so I had this, thank you, brother. My wife was telling me, and Amy and the rest of them were telling me the different means of communication, and come to find out, Snapchat was one of them. Now, I'm 50 years old, and Snapchat means absolutely nothing to me, and I'm not on it, but I had to join Snapchat, and I've got one friend, and that is my son, in order for me to be able to communicate with him, because that is, I'd send him a text, and he wouldn't respond, but my wife would get a Snapchat with a whole list of things of what's going on. I said, baby, why is he talking to you and not talking to me? She said, well, honey, are you on Snapchat? I said, no, I'm not on Snapchat. Well, I guess I better learn to get on it. So one of those means of communications in this next or this generation, a millennial generation, I had to adapt. And that was the way that I had to be able to communicate with him. And so if I want to think back here, you know, if you go back 12 years ago, back in 2007, it's 19 now, 2000, almost 2020, a man by the name of Steve Jobs walked across a platform there in Northern California, a man who ran, the late Steve Jobs, ran a company called Apple. And he held up a little device like this right here, who most of you have something like this in your hand already. And he began to talk about how this little device would change the world. He would begin to tell us that how you would be able to communicate through video, how you would be able to find directions without unfolding the map. Now, I'm dating myself. Anybody ever used a fold-up map and try to get someplace? Yeah. So you'd be able to find directions without even unfolding the map. You would be able to get your emails. You'd be able to surf the World Wide Web from the palm of your hand. And for that moment on, from 2007 to 2009, and we went through one phone to the next, and as we go through generation to generation here of phones and technology, those things have evolved. And it went from not having anything. And some of you may think, well, what does that have to do with us today? Well, You know, I was raised in a time. Do you anybody remember a phone booth? Yeah, a phone booth. My sons don't have no. Dad, what? A phone booth? You mean you talking about a box that you went in and paid a quarter to go make a phone call? Yeah, son, that's what really happened. When I was in college, we had a. There were no laptop computers, you know, and I just bought my son a laptop before he left for college, and we have them in every office now. But then I'm in a major university, and you didn't see a laptop till you went to the library, and there's microfilm, and that's how you learn. I didn't have a laptop in my dorm room. But the point of that is how things have evolved. And when I went from one stage to the next, I've noticed how things have begun to change. And when I was 28 years old, that's when I first got my cell phone, like not similar to this. But it was a little phone, a little Ericsson phone, and you couldn't text, you couldn't send any video, you couldn't do anything with it. And then the next thing, you know, you got one thing led to another. But the largest, and I'll refer back to my son, the largest generation now in history. Now, okay, so there are 4 to 5 billion, I don't have the exact statistics because I didn't look it up. I know there's 330 million here in the U.S. To give you an idea. There's a billion in China, a billion in India, and a whatever. So there's 4.5 to 5 billion people. Half of those people, half of the world's population is under the age of 30. Most people in the world today, now listen to this, most people in the world own a cell phone, but don't own a toothbrush. More people own a cell phone than own a toothbrush. Now turn to the person next to you and say, I hope that's not you. Every day there are 20,000 new searches, and I say that 20,000 new searches of things that have never been searched before. This generation is an ever-expanding generation of knowledge. 53% of millennials, 30 and under, so half the world's population, entire population, would rather lose their sense of smell than give up their mobile device. We have to learn to use social media so that it will bless us and not curse us. It's possible for social media and entertainment to become a weapon of mass distraction. We, on average, I'm going to use the whole world who has one of these right here, because basically just about everybody has one. Of the population, everyone, on average, if you take everyone in the world, they use their social media user or check their smartphones 81,000 times a year. That's 222 times a day. If you took everyone in the world, 222 times a day. During this service, statistics will tell us, I'm not saying that none of you will, but for the next 30 minutes, you will be tempted to check your cell phone or get on some type of social media 12 times. Now, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I have seen nobody check their cell phone, and so you're not in those averages. The average person will spend 5 hours on social media a day. The average person, so you take from teenagers all the way down, adults 60 years old, all the way down, will spend up to 5 hours a day on social media. That's 5.5 years of your life spending and devoted to 200 different apps, 18 different social media platforms, and surfing the internet. Our life has been adapted and adjusted because we got our calendars, we got our emails, we got apps, we've got, and the worst of all, men, you can, God bless us and help us, our wives can shop from the palm of their hand, and it can be at our doorstep the very next day. We have no, it can already be at our doorstep before we even know it hit our credit card, man. Your cell phone has 30 times more process, this thing right here has 30 times more processing speed than what NASA used on their navigational equipment when they sent Apollo 11 to the moon. That computer who had that processor weighed 70 pounds and you carry it in your pocket today. 54% of people check their smartphones or get on some type of social media within minutes of waking up. I think I caught some of you on that one right there. Definitely some of you on that one. 71% of the people sleep with their cell phone right next to the bed, and the first thing they do when they get up in the morning, before their feet hit the floor, before they've got their eyes even open, is clicking their cell phone. 73% of the people check their cell phones or social media before doing anything else when they get up in the morning. Teenagers, God help us, spend on average of 9 hours a day. I'm not making this up. I have to look all this stuff up. Either I hear, look it up, or I research. 9 hours a day on some form of social media. That's 24 years of one's life playing, surfing, liking, following, and whatever else you do on them. The moment we get bored with real life, we pick up this thing, and with the scroll of our thumbs, we distract ourselves. We completely take things in our life out of what's in reality and put it into what's many times not even reality. I'll take my kids, for example. I got three great boys, and they're one of good men. They all got a cell phone, but I'm going to a restaurant before they left, for one of them left for college, and we got all three of them there, and very rarely do we get everybody together because they always got something going on. And the first thing they do, everybody gets to sit down at the table, and my wife, first thing, because every one of them is this right here. And she said, everybody turn their phones off right now, my wife immediately. But that's a habit. I'm not mad at them, I'm not upset at them, but after spending time over the last year and learning how these things work, I began to notice things more than I've ever noticed on how much time. I'm watching a football game, and I'll pick on my own family, okay, because I'm not going to pick on you. I'm watching a football game, and that's our thing to do on Saturday afternoon if we're not watching my one on Friday night or my other one's on Saturday, and they got an open week, so we're all sitting around. He came home. We're all sitting around watching a ball game. We're watching the Alabama game, and I look up, and I'm watching the game, and I had a friend over there, my brother's over there, my wife, my three boys, and I'm happy as I can be, and not one of them was watching the game. Every one of them, I'm looking around, every one of them was this right here, and I watched it for 15 minutes, and no one looked up to watch the game. I'm the only one. I said, am I that old? Or else I'm just, I want reality. Again, I'm not mad at him or whatever, but that's become our society now. Everything is about this. No one wants to open this. Everything has to be about this. 210 million people suffer from social media addiction. Single teenage females are the most vulnerable. I've got no single teenage females in here, do I? Teens spending 5 hours a day or more on their phones are 50% more likely to suffer from depression. And we wonder what's going on with our kids today. 10% of teens check their phones at night, all night, whenever they hear a ding, ping, or ring. Even if it's 3 a.m., all night long, they will check that phone. Study after study show the more you are addicted to this phone, the more you are involved in all forms of social, I'm not picking on social media, but I am, all forms of the internet or whatever, the more prone you will have depression, anxiety, and will be less productive in work and school. Digital distraction, mass distraction, is not a game anymore. You are six times more prone to have an accident while tweeting or texting than driving drunk. Now, none of you in here I know would ever drive drunk, but the statistics tell me that somebody sitting in this room have texted and driven at least once in their life. And I know that because the one I can say right now, I have checked my phone on that little ding, and it got to me to thinking. I'm six times more likely to have an accident of just checking my phone to see what just popped up versus someone who was slap dab drunk. May save someone's life. There are three things of digital distraction or mass distractions that can keep things away. It'll keep the work away. You as you surf the web, as you are digitally distracted, while you're using your phone, suddenly minutes turn into hours, hours turn into days. We look and see who's liked something, who's followed us, who's unfollowed us, and all of a sudden our time that we're supposed to be spending working or doing something else has now become wasted time. Studies are being done right now to determine how much work is actually being lost and less productive in society now and in the workplace environment by simply people on their phones. Number two, it takes people away. Instead of being with your friends and going on doing things on the outside, you spend your time and your phone on the your weekends on the phone. Kids now, and I watch this, since I've been studying this, I've become more prone and more notice of things happen. I had a bunch of kids over, I think it was several months ago, and kids are all sitting there. These are the guys and little girls and guys, and they're at that teenage years, and they're all sitting around, and they're kind of laughing, but they're not talking to each other. I'm like, babe, what's going on with the kids in there? They're not talking. I mean, they're eating. They got the TV on. Every one of them, and I walked in there, and every one of them's got their phones, and they're laughing. And she said, babe, they're texting each other. I said, texting each other? They're right next door. They're right next to each other. We have lost the ability to communicate. Now, instead of talking to someone, we're texting someone. Now, instead of having a normal conversation, we want to do it all over social media and like someone to have a fake friend. Someone who maybe they don't see all of our imperfections. Number three, lastly, you keep God away. Because you spend our spare time on the phone. Even in church today, we have attention deficit disorder, or I'm going to call it spiritual attention deficit disorder. When you sit through your service, or can you sit through a service without checking your phone or your social media? I think God says, he feels I deserve a full attention for that time I'm coming to church. Sometimes, and I actually did this recently, in studying this and preparing for this, I went on a fast from all forms. I get my emails. That's how I do work with this thing. But I didn't open up any social media. I didn't read any news on it. I took a break for about a whole week from it. Man, you talk about great. It was great. These things are demanding our attention. And we're giving less time to the things that matter than what the things are a reality and what things are important. It's easier now to post than to pray. It's easier to Snapchat than to chat with someone who may need your words or needs an interaction with someone. It's easier to Facebook than to put your face in the book. The devil loves distractions because distractions, it's the enemy of discipleship. We're letting our phones and our social media distract us from time with God, time with our family, prayer time, and worship time. I'm not saying this is a sin or anything. All I'm saying is the distractions are taking us away from the most important things in our life. It's taking us away from things that are drawing us closer to God. It's taking us away from the discipleship. No generation has become more distracted than our current generation. It's become too important in the lives of our kids and the lives of this country. Ecclesiastes, I'm reading this 3 and verse 1 through 8. I'm not going to read all of it. This is the scripture. It says, "For there's a season to be born, a time to die." And let's read it from the social media way here, just a couple of verses. "For every season there's a tweet, and a tweet for every purpose under heaven. A like to be born and a post to die. A tweet for crying and a like for laughing. A Snapchat to love and a Pinterest to hate. and on and on and on. I know that sounds silly, but if we aren't careful, that's what our lives will become. That's what our children's lives will become. This cell phone, I'm going to use the first part of that, the cell, becomes a prison cell. Becomes a cell of distraction. It becomes a cell where your life can become a state of depression, a state of anxiety, a state of lack of interaction with people. And we weren't made for that. Even today, they have what we call emojis. Anybody know what emoji is? Yeah. It tries to duplicate human emotions. So if someone, you know, I got to noticing this. Every time there's someone, I'm guilty of myself. I got a text the other day, and someone needed prayer for something, and I sent a praying hands. Now, I had to catch myself because we got to catch ourselves. And then someone sends another text to you that maybe your aunt or uncle has been in a car accident or someone's kid's in the hospital. And maybe we send a crying face or a praying hands face or a sad face. And we become so desensitized that becomes our reaction from now on. And that's not that we don't respond to it. We send a praying hands, but do we pray? Do we actually get on our hands and knees? Or we just send the praying hands and think that covers everything? Or do we actually pick up the phone? Instead of picking up the phone, we send that crying emoji to where that's supposed to solve everything. That's supposed to scratch the itch. Instead of picking up the phone and call and say, hey, brother, I got your text. I'm sorry for what happened. I want you to know I'm praying for you. And then you actually have prayer for someone. Or you actually go see someone in the hospital instead of sending some emoji. That's the way the world has become now. And let me explain to you, the fire emoji doesn't represent the Holy Spirit. One preacher said, I'm going to quote him, he said, social media will be used to prove that prayerlessness was not due to a lack of time on the day of judgment. Social media will be used to prove that prayerlessness, lack of prayer in our lives, was not due to a lack of time on the day of judgment. Your thumbprint is on it. Matthew 12, it says, every idle word shall man give an account for on the day of judgment. I'm going to add, every idle tweet, every false post, every negative post, every bad negative things that you said to some kid said to another kid that made him put him in depression, and even now today there have been recorded suicides of kids because of social media bullying. Luke 10, Jesus goes to the house. I'm just going to paraphrase this. Jesus goes to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and Jesus is there and he's speaking to them. And Martha, she's busy. She's distracted by things that are going around, and she's picking up and she's cleaning up and she's getting prepared, and she's distracted by this and she's distracted by that. And Jesus is sitting there, he's teaching, and Mary's at Jesus' feet while Martha's just running around distracted while the man of God is sitting there teaching and is right there sitting right here. But she's so busy, distracted over here and over here, and thinks she's doing what she's supposed to be doing. And then she gets mad at Mary because, Mary, I need you to get up and help me. And Jesus said, whoa, whoa, whoa. She's doing what she's supposed to be doing. That's what she's called. That's what I would have her do. Martha became so distracted on the things that were unimportant. We're in church and we become distracted on the things that are not important. We're in life and we become on the things that are distracted and become unimportant. Jesus is right there in the house and she is so distracted that she can't find enough time to sit with the master and learn something. You see, we all have to choose daily on whether we focus on distractions or we let the things, or we focused on the things that really matter. Mass distractions. You got to ask yourself this question. Are you going to fill your soul with the things that are eternal or things that are entertainment? This is entertainment. Entertainment would not secure you a place in glory. Entertainment will not secure your family being saved. Entertainment will not secure your ability to communicate with your boys or your girls as they're going through their life situations. Because right now, it's not like what I grew up with. It's not like what you grew up with. We do adapt to what they have. And I may be a Snapchat with just my boy, and when my other two leave, I'll do the same. But I'm not going to let this influence me to the point that I'm going to let it take away from my spiritual walk with God. The Bible is eternity. The cell phone is entertainment. When one takes priority over the distractions, will take over your soul and the decisions that you make. Jesus told the story of the sower. And he began to tell the story of sowing the seeds. And we all know the story, and I'm not going to read it, and I'm going to paraphrase it here. He said, some fell and some were sown, and the birds came and ate it. And then he said that other seeds were sown and it fell on stony grounds, distractions. Birds ate it. It was distractions. And some fell on other ground. Only 25% of the seeds that were sown actually produced a harvest. The thorns choked out, the distractions of the thorns choked out one. The distractions of the birds choked out the other. The distractions of the stony ground choked. So 75% of the stone of the seeds that was sown, only 25% of them produced a harvest, produced a hundredfold blessing. Get your eyes off the distractions. You have to decide if is it going to be the seed or the screen. Are you going to trade the real moments with your family and friends to have the past moments with someone else? Because you go to most platforms now, it's everything about what's already happened. What's with people you don't even know half the time. You're friends with someone that you don't even call and talk to. You got 1,000 friends, and how many of those 1,000 friends are you interested in what happened 2 years ago or 2 months ago versus what happened right at that moment in your life? Live in the present moment and not someone else's past moment. Half of what you see is not real anyway. You see all those beautiful pictures, and I'll use my family for an example. You know, you see that nice Easter photo, and my wife's all pretty dressed up, and I got a suit on, and my kids got suits on. Brother, it took 28 times to get that one. And y'all, it wasn't there at the time. My boys are fussing and like, Mom, would you please? It's not real. They got so many filters now, what you think is real is not real. You could squeeze in and tuck in and make something look totally different than what it is. 2 Corinthians 10:12. They measure themselves, write this down, 2 Corinthians 10:12. They measure themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves. In other words, we look at people's social media through others comparing yourself to others. Oh, look at how perfect their family is. Oh, by little Johnny looks as good as he looks. And it's not even real. And all this research I've done and seeing all these followers and likes, and I'll use a couple of superstars there. You got Kim Kardashian. You got a bunch of these superstars with all these tens of thousands of followers. I found out half of them aren't even real. Half of what you see and half of what you think is real on this thing is not even real. Jesus Jesus said in John 12, he's on the road to Jerusalem. And he, as he's riding in with a donkey, we read this before, and people are waving the palm branches, singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. You remember the scripture as he's riding in. But here's a key piece of that. When you go back and read it, it says, but some would not. So we think everybody was all celebrating, everybody was waving, everybody was on the same page. But some would not. You skip on down to verse 43, it says, and why? Because they love the praise of men more than the approval of God. They love they love the approval of man. They love the likes of man. They love the follows of man. They love the Pinterest of man. They love the Snapchat of man. They love the Facebook of man more than the approval of God. Do you want likes and follows, or do you want the approval of God? Sometimes when you follow the Lord and seek Him and you follow His direction, the world will unfollow you. You're not going to always be popular with the world. Sometimes being a friend to the Lord and a friend to Christ, the world will defriend you. Do you live for the praise of men more than the approval of God? The Bible says, let every man take up his cross and follow me. Jesus is the image of God. You see, and today I believe, there are positives and goods to technology. Technology is ever expanding, and the things that we never saw, we're seeing. And by the time we're grandpas and have grandkids, there'll be even further technology, and things will go beyond. But I believe that we have to be very careful. And the things that we use for good, and I believe we'll use things for good because we are using it for good for our ministry. But I also believe that there's a counterfeit. And I believe that the devil and even the Antichrist will one day try to influence and use, just like we see now. We see how things have now become even no more communication. It's now all through a little 5-inch screen. Kids aren't used to even having a conversation anymore. How are they going to have a job interview if they're not used to having a conversation? I said before, maybe we should fast again. I have thought about it, and I've done it a couple of times now. That, Lord, I have kids, and I want to reach them in a way that on their level. And if that means I have to educate myself on how to reach them through a form of social media, then I will. But Lord, I need you to help us as a Christians, as a Christian nation, and a church and a body of Christ to decide, are we going to go for entertainment, or are we going for eternity? Are we going to follow Christ, or are we going to worry about how many follows we have someone following us on a social media platform? I pray the Lord give us that wisdom and that guidance, that He'll lead, guide, and direct us into all truths and all things, and that we use the Word of God to influence our kids, influence our family, and influence the society of today. I pray, Lord, would give us direction. I pray, God, that would use us mightily and to help us be an influence, that we would not be so massively distracted on the things that will not produce anything beneficial in our lives. Let me pray for you. Pastor, why don't you come on up and we'll take the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the word, God, that you've given us. And I ask, God, that you just deal in our hearts, Lord, to set aside, Lord, time with you. Set aside time away from the distractions of life, Lord, whether if it's technological distractions, Lord, or just job distractions or whatever the distractions may be. Lord, use us, Lord, for your praise and glory. And reveal to us, each and every one, Lord, how to reach the young people today. For it's in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next Wednesday night.